all of these economic catastrophes have their origins in bad government policy. It's not that free markets are inherently unstable. Governments are inherently unstable.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason, and today we're talking with Steve Forbes. The occasion of his 70th birthday, more or less, and also the 100-year anniversary of Forbes magazine, the magazine which has been in his life and blood for many, many years. Steve Forbes, thanks for talking to Reason.
Good to be with you, Nick. Thank you.
Let's talk about turning 70. How does that feel? And looking back, what are the highlights of your public career?
Well, 70, glad to have made it. Mm-hmm. And at this stage of life, it's nice to have an excuse, guilt-free excuse for plenty of cake, cookies, and ice cream. Not going to complain.
In terms of your achievements over the years, talk about your forays into the Republican nomination process for the presidency and your advocacy of the flat tax. Do you feel like that accomplished what you hoped it would accomplish?
Well, I would have liked to have won. Hmm. It's more fun to get more votes than less votes. But I do think we got some good ideas out there. Even though the U.S. has not made much progress on the tax front, 40 countries and jurisdictions around the world, like Hong Kong, have had the flat tax, and it's worked fairly well. So this is no longer laboratory stuff. This is real-world stuff. And the disappointment is that in the last 20 years, we haven't had a presidential candidate make that a forefront issue. A couple of them in the last election had some variations of the flat tax. But they didn't put it out there, so nobody knew. It's like the tree falls in the forest, but if you don't hear it, did it really fall? So I'm just waiting for a political entrepreneur to do it. I would have thought in 2016, when Trump rose up, that the other 16 opponents would have said, I got to do something a little differently, or I'm going to get steamrollered. Instead, they had all the same kinds of consultants, they made all the same calculations, and they all went down for the count. Shakespeare talked about killing all the lawyers. I think they should kill all the political consultants. But that's another subject. But in terms of the flat tax, tax simplification's out there. Republicans at least have to pay lip service to it. Another thing I think we got out there, the savings accounts, now they call them health savings accounts, the idea being patients should be in control, not government, not third parties, not bureaucrats, not big companies, but we the people individually. And so we got that idea out there. And I think, too, we gave some credence to the idea of a new Social Security system for younger people. When I ran in 96 in Arizona, I shocked my campaign colleagues when I said, we're going to Sun City and I'm going to talk about Social Security. Oh, you can't do that. But once you make it clear, you're not going to take anything away from them. This is about their kids and their grandkids. They'll listen.
Explain a little bit of what your alternative Social Security plan was, because that's also something that has not advanced, even as the economics or the finances of both Medicare and Social Security have just gone even more in the tank.
Well, in Social Security, for younger people, they will own their own accounts, personal accounts. And that way, if anything happens to you, you own it. And I think just change the whole mindset. That money that goes into your account, you get your first part-time job, you say, capital, what's that all about? You learn because it's the result of your labor, not a gift from politicians or employer. You created those resources. They belong to you. Whole different mindset. I think people would learn more about money at an earlier age since it's their own property.
We're talking about 96 when you were running, but you know, even over the past 30 or 40 years, a longer period, are people more savvy about investing or about kind of economic truisms in terms of, you know, if you save a little over a long period of time, you're going to do pretty well. You can't wait until the very end and try and park a lot of money, or even if you have it. I mean, do you feel like we're growing as an investor society?
There's been some progress because of the rise of 401ks. Suddenly, okay, it's not some magic thing that's going to appear at age 65. This is something you have to look after. I'm surprised there hasn't been more real education done and more real reform done on that front. Don't put all your money in the company stock and basic stuff like that. So I think we have to do a lot more. But when people have something, they'll learn about it. You don't make them passive, and therefore they become more active in it. And one of the things that I think has arisen universally in recent years is the idea of index funds. Now have hundreds of billions of dollars. You'll do, if you have low fees and just let the thing work, put in your certain amount each month or quarter or whatever, by golly, you'll do better than most money managers. I think that's becoming more of a conventional wisdom.
For 100 years of Forbes, it's probably harder for a magazine to last 100 years even than a human being. Do you think it is still holding true to the role that it played 100 years ago?
Well, it was started by my grandfather, B.C. Forbes, who was an immigrant to this country, grade school education, one of 10 children. He wanted to be a business writer and then his own boss, so he first emigrated from Scotland to South Africa. Was there for the founding of a paper, once famed paper, called the Rand Daily Mail. Worked for Wallace, who later became a novelist. He liked drink, so my grandfather had to write Wallace's editorials from time to time. South Africa, too small a pond, and so he came to New York. And he always had that entrepreneurial spirit. When he landed in New York, he couldn't get a job. Most people say, oh, I can't get a job. But he did something unusual. He went to an editor and said, I'll work for you for free. You could do that in those days.
So he's an unpaid intern.
He is an unpaid intern, so to speak, but he took a risk. He didn't know whether the editor would take his free labor and then toss him out. But he knew if he did everything the conventional way, he'd go nowhere. And so he eventually got the job. Then he had so much energy, he used an assumed name, got a job at another publication. And probably the happiest moment in his life was when the two editors got into an argument as to who had the best business writer. It was my grandfather in both cases. Hmm. So eventually he decided, as he became successful, became a syndicated column for Hearst, big newspaper chain at the time. And Hearst, by the way, was the character for Citizen Kane. So
he was the one with the sled problem, right?
Yes, Rosebud. Okay.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
But my grandfather decided instead of just writing about mm-hmm. these makers and shakers, he would do it himself. So he started Forbes in 1917. And in the first issue, he said, the purpose of business is to produce happiness, not to pile up millions.
Wow. And that comes through even today. I mean, a lot of it on the publication, there's always the words of wisdom. And isn't one of the catchphrases something like, in all of your getting, get wisdom?
It's from Proverbs. Yeah. You put it in the first mm-hmm. issue of Forbes. With all thy getting, get understanding.
Yeah, there
you go. Which resonates 100 years later.
Yeah. Do you feel like Forbes is, you know, what is the essential role that Forbes magazine plays now, and where do you see it in the next 100 years?
Well, I think we're unique from other business publications, and I think this is one reason why around the world entrepreneurs identify with Forbes, is we don't see business as evil. We don't see them as miscreants having to be sat on lest they wreck the world and kill all of us with pollution or bad dog food or whatever, kill your pets. We see it as a noble undertaking. Mm. And yes, human beings, what they are, some are going to go off the rails. So from the beginning, my grandfather was, somebody said, like a drama critic. Mm. Loved it when you got it right, will hit you hard when you got it wrong, but loved what it all represented. And to him, what we call entrepreneurial capitalism today is how you enable people to do great things, be creative, learn from your mistakes, and you're doing well, you make other people better.
Are you optimistic for the next 100 years?
Yes. Given what, look 100 years ago. Look at the, despite two world wars, Great Depression, 9/11, all the catastrophes we've had, the great inflation of the 1970s, the disaster of 2008-2009. By the way, all of these economic catastrophes have their origins in bad government policy. It's not that free markets are inherently unstable. Governments are inherently unstable in what they do. But when you look at all of that, look at how far we've come, even though they try to discredit capitalism, even though today you're not supposed to use the word capitalism.
Or we talk about late capitalism.
Or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, look at the huge progress that's been made in the last 30 years. People living in dire poverty, down half, over a billion people, as the world has become more integrated, coming out of dire poverty. You look at longevity. No big deal today. People live 80s or 90s. Another little factoid, people dying from natural disasters, down 98% because of structures, warning from a capitalist system. So when you look at all of that progress, we're going to write in our 100th anniversary issue. In 2117, despite all that's going to happen, we'll be infinitely better off then in a richer world in terms of quality of life.
Let's talk about Donald Trump. He's about 6 months in. No significant legislation coming out of the Trump period so far. Rate him. Give him the way that you would rate restaurants. Does he get a green light, a yellow light, or a red light?
Well, we used to grade mutual funds, A through F, for performance. And right now, he hasn't completed a year yet, so I'll give him an incomplete. But what he has done in terms of Gorsuch, now, not much happened the first term, no surprise, but that's a generational thing. That's going to be 25 years, hugely important, not just for his decisions, but his ability to articulate why this is constitutional. People read those decisions. They're going to be impressed by them like they were with Scalia. Hugely important. Deregulation, utterly unglamorous. All presidents pay lip service to it. They are actually trying to do things on that front.
Let's talk about that a bit, because, you know, at places like the FDA, the FCC, and the EPA, he's definitely appointed people who are
enormously
strong.
Important. Scott Gottlieb has worked at the FDA, has written about their problems. He knows where their strengths are and where their weaknesses are, and can make informed policy decisions instead of having, it's nice to have the right ideology, but you have to know what you're doing. EPA, Pruitt, enormously important, profound change. He's already starting to see it play out in the energy industry. And education, I hope they back Betsy DeVos. She's been fighting these wars for 20 years, so these are experienced veterans. So-called net neutrality, where they Netflix and others want the government to subsidize their costs of doing their programming, getting it out to we the people. No, they're going
but
to attack that.
Here's the question for you. Trump's budget, according to economists and researchers at the Wiedenbaum Center at Washington University in St. Louis, they said if his budget was enacted as written, it would reduce the number of regulators in the government by something like 1% or something, but it would actually increase spending by regulatory agencies by 3%. Is it more complicated in a way to get rid of regulation?
As I understand it, would be on the immigration side. Mm-hmm. And I hope in the next few years, as we talk about it, we start with reforming our own immigration service, mm-hmm. so that if you come and play by the rules, you're not left in limbo, as can happen with people having to hire lawyers and papers get lost. It's a disaster. So don't punish those who play by the rules.
Would you expand immigration?
I'd like legal immigration, because I think people bring.
So in a broader sense, then Trump, where is he going wrong? Where is he falling short, by your count?
Well, I think despite all this good stuff on regulation, getting Gorsuch through, which is enormously important, two big things. Well, actually three. One is health care. All right, you can't undo Rome or build Rome in a day. But there's some basics they got to get done to create a more individual, patient-oriented system. When you do that, by golly, a lot of these other problems start to disappear, like this desire to impose electronic records. That happened naturally when you have to please the patient. So in the terms of the legislation, that's what I want to see. Is it moving the ball forward there? Because then we can build on it. Remember that the other side has been building on this stuff of
Since Truman, at least, for decade
after decade. We got to do the same thing. We're in this for the long haul. We're going to relentlessly pursue it. That's where the regulatory stuff is important, showing even our own people. This is nitty-gritty stuff that you do day by day by day. And don't think one thing and then you can retire, or you have a hero on the white horse.
So health care, what are the other problems?
So taxes. Mm-hmm. All right, they're not going to get real tax reform. Paul Ryan, I think the body snatchers got to him in Washington, came over this crazy 20% border sales tax. So it delayed health care. And because they worship the Congressional Budget Office, like ancient people would worship idols, Vestal Virgins and the like, they delayed health care. So just make across-the-board rate cuts like Reagan did and do the serious reform after next year's election. Go to something like a flat tax. Legacy, great legacy to have. But in the meantime, you get the rates down, by golly, it'll have a ripple effect positive through the economy. And one of the things I hope they realize is they're going to be accused of pandering to the rich. Get over it. The economy starts to really have real life. Nobody cares. Nobody cares outside of the Beltway and the mainstream media. And then on money, sound money, stable money. We have 16 ounces in a pound. We have 12 inches in a foot, 60 minutes in an hour. No one would argue we should change that to stimulate the economy. Yet in the money, the measure of value, makes it like a claim check. Worthless in and of itself, but because of trust, we use that to do numerous complicated transactions each and every day. we've had huge sufferings from unstable money, not to get too much in the weeds, but in the 180 years, well, we had the gold standard most of the time, from Alexander Hamilton, George Washington, up to the 70s. We had the highest average growth rates in the history of human beings, and despite all the convulsions and everything that had happened. Since then, it's fallen by at least a third or 50%. Compounded. If we'd had those growth rates for another 40 years, we'd be 50% larger today.
But we're not going to go to a gold standard.
But in the meantime, recognize you don't manipulate the currency. Have the Fed. Don't talk about reducing that bloated portfolio. Have it run down now. Get that money back into the system again. No more zero interest rates. That's price controls. You know, these free marketeers. Oh, price controls are bad, but when the Fed does it, that's necessary. And one of the things we got to hammer home hard, economies are not machines. They are people. And the idea that you can guide the economy like a pedal in a car is preposterous.
All right. Well, we will leave it there. We have been talking with Steve Forbes on the occasion of Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, his 70th birthday and the 100th anniversary of Forbes magazine. Steve, thanks so much for talking.
Nick, thank you. Appreciate it.
For Reason, I'm Nick Gillespie.